Good morning. Pleasure to be with you this morning. Thank you for joining together in worship. If you're joining online, thank you for being with us. It is great to be here. And I just want to thank the tech team. They always do their work with excellence, putting these videos together for life groups. Once again, they've done an excellent job. Thank you for that. Well, I want to be in Hebrews chapter 10 today. You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a Bible in the seat back in front of you, or if you use a phone or a tablet, however it is you do that. Go ahead and locate Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. As you locate that, we've been talking together. Pastor John has been leading us in sermons about life groups, just as you saw the video presented previously. He's been talking about the importance of getting connected in life groups, right? Of belonging to a group and being in community with one another. So I want to continue in that vein this morning through these verses in Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to go even further into these verses, and we're going to talk about staying connected. Okay, so we've been talking about getting connected and establishing that connection. And some of you have been in life groups for some time. We're going to talk about staying connected and the importance of that. And in these verses, you can see in your Life Point outline, if you want to follow along this morning, we stay connected in life groups by drawing near to God, by holding fast to the confession of our hope, and considering how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. In our first insight this morning, we cannot fully grow in our faith in Christ on our own. We need each other. So we're going to dig into that this morning, and we're going to look at, we've got this great graphic of get connected, that blue sofa, but we want to stay connected and continue in that connection with one another. So let me read for us this morning. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So in these verses, first of all, what drew me to them is it's collective language. It's the we language, right? We, us, our. You see that all through these verses. And it drew me to them just thinking about communities, right? Thinking about being together, that we, us. So that, first of all, I started reading that. And then what drew me to this passage was the let us statements. Not let us, like the vegetable, but let us, right? It's that let us pull together. So in Greek, we have several different moods of language, just like in English. So we have a command mood. That's telling someone to do something. So if you think of a teacher telling a child, you know, pick up the crayon, move to the back, or a parent, you know, put that down, stand up. These are commands. This is forceful language, asking someone to do something. This is just under that, but still very strong language. It's like the author is saying, come along with me. He's inviting us in. He's saying, draw near together, right? It's like you think of tug of war, and you want to pull someone to your side, right? Just that urging and that pulling, that's what the author is doing here in this author of Hebrews. So in verses 22, 23, and 24, we have that let us language, let us do this, and let us do this. It's that urging, and I want to walk us through that this morning. Before we get there, though, love the book of Hebrews. One pastor I was listening to, Bob Utley, he was a pastor in Lubbock for some time. He taught at East Texas Baptist University. But he called Hebrews the best commentary on the Old Testament. And I love to go back to Hebrews again and again because of the supremacy that it puts on Jesus. If you read through Hebrews over and over again, it talks about how great Jesus is. And we, as evangelicals, you know, we get that pretty well. We know the importance of Jesus. But before we get into these let us statements, I wanted to talk about what the Hebrew author says about who Jesus is. We can't go through all of these. It would take all morning. But I want to hit a few of the highlights from some of these chapters just to hear that language this morning. So the author says this, in Hebrews chapter 1. It says, Jesus is the heir of all things. Through Jesus, the world was created. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. In chapter 3, Jesus is the apostle and high priest. Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses. Chapter 4, Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was tempted, but without sin. In chapter 7, Jesus has no need to offer sacrifices daily. He offered his unstained life as a sacrifice once for all. So the author is going through the book. He's leading up to this point, to chapter 10. This is like the climax of the book. And we have in verse 19, therefore. And when you see the word therefore, I'm sure you've heard this many times, but what's the therefore, therefore? Right, it's a very important word. And because all of this he's talking about, Jesus has done all of this. This is who Jesus is. Because of all this, he gets to verses 19, 20, and 21. And he says, Jesus is our access to God. If you think of an access key, a key that enters a door, a key card, Jesus is that access to God. He is the high priest. We no longer need the ritual system. The people that this Hebrew author is writing to, they are coming out of Judaism, right? They know the ritual system. And he's saying, you don't need the rituals any longer. Jesus is the high priest. He has purchased that access to God that we need. He's given it to us. And all of that is leading to this point. So this first let us phrase, if you're looking in your outline, let us draw near to God in full assurance of faith. When we experience Jesus, we can't help but worship. And that's that idea here. Let us draw near. Let us come together and worship. He is worth our praise. We did it this morning in song. We worshiped him. We proclaimed that he is worthy. And we do that in our life groups. When we come together in small groups, it's important for us to do it there as well. And we proclaim together, this is who Jesus is. It's those times meeting weekly that we encourage one another to keep going. And we'll get into that more, but that drawing near is important. It's an invitation. Come together. He encourages us to do that. So we establish this habit of coming to the Lord together. Of course, personal devotion is important. We worship God in our alone times with him. But there's encouragement in Scripture over and over. Establish the habit of meeting together. Proclaim the worth of Jesus together. And we do that in our life groups here at Harmony Hill. So moving on, let us hold fast the confession. Don't give up, right? We don't waver. Hold fast to that confession, our hope of who Jesus is. That confession is Jesus is that one sacrifice for all. That is our confession. And the word there, you may think of confession, think about getting on a witness stand. You have to tell the truth in front of the judge. We think of confessing, you know, I did it. The word here, confession, it's having a common language. It's saying the same thing about who Jesus is. And that's why, that's one of the reasons that we meet together and encourage one another, is we need to have the same language. We need to agree together what it is we're saying about Jesus. And that's why we are repetitive. That's why we talk about who Jesus is, because we encourage one another with that so that we do not waver, so that we don't veer off course. We remember who is Jesus. We say the same thing. We have the same vocabulary. And Jesus is our shared hope, and we encourage one another with this hope, and that is why we do not waver. A friend here at Harmony Hill was sharing an illustration with me from a Charles Spurgeon sermon, and he was talking about an anchor on a ship. And if you think of a huge cruise ship or, you know, one of those oil tankers that you see out on at Galveston or out on the bay, you have the huge anchors. And Spurgeon was saying in his sermon, when the anchor is on the ship, it's not doing its job. It's when you can't see the anchor that it's doing its intended work, right? It drops way below the ocean surface. You can't see it. If a ship is being tossed back and forth, maybe it's going to hit another ship or hit the shore. They drop the anchor to hold it in place. And these anchors can weigh 10,000 pounds or more, and it drops all the way, and then finally it drags along the ground, and you feel it catch, and it will hold that ship in place. And of course, it may bob a little bit, but it's going to hold secure. It'll be firm. And this author says in Hebrews chapter 6, Jesus is that anchor. He holds us steadfast and secure. So it's important for us to meet together, to meet one another, because we are like that chain link that holds the anchor to the ship. That's what we do for one another. We hold on to that anchor. These chains you see on the ships that hold the anchor to the ship, they can be 1,000 feet long and weigh 50,000 pounds. I mean, that's some significant weight, right? And they're holding on to that anchor. And that's why we meet weekly. We encourage one another. These people I mentioned to you, the author is writing this audience, the Hebrews, they would have been tempted to go back into that ritual worship. That would have looked like wavering to them. The high priest, just a reminder, he would go into the temple once a year. There's the holy place, and then there's the veil, and then the Holy of Holies. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year. He would sprinkle the Ark of the Covenant with blood from the animal sacrifice. He would sprinkle the room. That symbolized forgiveness for the people. That was the atonement. They had to do that once a year. And then they knew about washing. It talks about being our bodies being washed clean. They would wash before they go into worship so that they were pure before God. And they knew these rituals. But he's saying, get away from that. Jesus has purchased salvation for us that we can know him. But wavering for us may not look like that, right? We may be tempted by the worries of this life. You know, we get caught up getting busy, following kids around, being involved in kids' activities, being involved in work, being involved in hobbies. We're not going to be tempted like they were in this ritual style of worship, but we waver in other ways. So to be able to stay our course, to stand firm, we need to meet together. And at Harmony Hill, that's life groups. Stay connected in these groups because we encourage each other in the faith. We point each other to our hope by meeting together. That final point, letter C, God has kept his promise. This is just a promise that God made to Moses. It's Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, if you want to look through that later. But it says, God is faithful and loves with a steadfast love. He's just encouraging Moses and the people. Say, I brought you out of Egypt. I'm not going to leave you. I will be with you for generations, for 1,000 generations. Just the one who promised is faithful. It's just that assurance that God is with us, that Jesus is that anchor. We can hold to him firmly. So as we are encouraged to draw near, let us draw near to God in worship. Let us come together. Let us hold fast to that confession. Do not let go of that confession. Do not waver. Jesus is our anchor. This final point, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good works. We've seen that example over and over in Scripture. That's not foreign to us, right? We need to love one another. Point A here, we have to meet together to serve one another. In this let us statement, this idea of provoking one another, this is the only statement that actually has the words one another in it. It's obvious from the other language that we are to be together, be with one another, but here it actually uses the word one another. So we have to meet together to serve one another. If no one's around, it's hard to serve anyone. We've got to be together to do that. This pastor I mentioned earlier, Bob Utley, I was listening to his sermon on Hebrews chapter 10, and he mentioned Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is a familiar verse, but Paul said there, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So before the creation of the world even, Jesus pre-existed with the Father. He prepared us for good works. If you've ever done something for someone and you felt good about that, there's a reason that we feel good about that. God has created us to do those things. Again, we know this, but God has created us for it. Remember back in Genesis, God had a plan for Adam and Eve from the very beginning. He told them not just to walk in the garden. Can you imagine being in God's presence, walking with him in the garden? I mean, they had it so good. And yet they weren't just sitting there with him. He gave them a job to do. He said, take care of the garden, cultivate the garden, care for it. And they showed God love by caring for his creation. So from the very beginning, God has created us to do good works. That's part of what we're supposed to be doing. That's no surprise to us. Jesus modeled love and service for the disciples. You don't have to read through the New Testament very long, and you see the disciples walking with Jesus, and they saw his example of compassion. The people that he healed, the lame and the blind, the sick, the rest of the community, they didn't want to be around these people. They were on the edges of society, but Jesus healed them. And he showed the disciples have compassion for others. You remember the story of the children coming to Jesus, and the disciples, you know, said, don't bother him right now. And Jesus said, no, let the children come to me. That was Jesus again showing the disciples to have compassion. He cared for everyone. And then we remember in the upper room, Jesus grabbed the towel and he washed the disciples' feet. When Jesus did that job of washing feet in that culture at that time, that job was set aside for the lowliest of servants. Someone was supposed to come in and pick up that towel and wash people's nasty feet. That was for the lowliest servant to do. But the rabbi, Jesus, he took the towel and he washed the disciples' feet. Again, he was showing them to love and serve one another. He told them, I have come to serve, not to be served. But he didn't even have to say that to them. He showed them through his actions. Again, that's obvious as we read scripture, as we do good things for others, we feel how good that feels. We know to love one another. What stood out to me more about this verse, though, was the words before that. Let us consider how to provoke one another. I just hadn't put a whole lot of thought into that before, but the idea is that we're observing carefully. We've got to think about this. We've got to be intentional. The only way we can do that is to meet together. Again, in Harmony Hill, that's life groups. We've got to meet together to stir one another up to do that. That means we've got to know how has God gifted each of us? What abilities has he given us? We've got to figure that out. And so we come together and we think, hey, how can we serve our neighborhood? How can we serve our community? Maybe that school across the city. We've got to come together and figure those things out and be intentional. And that struck me about this verse, that it's not just about the love and good works, but it's about how do we encourage one another to do that? You know, we're not content with just doing that on our own. We're stirring one another up to do that. So that's an encouragement from our author here. This point on one anothering by Andy Stanley, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. It was just an interesting term. He calls it one anothering, but Pastor John mentioned this last week. In the New Testament, 58 or 59 times, there are these commands, the one anothers, love one another, be kind to one another. Andy Stanley called that one anothering, but that's what we need to be about as the body of Christ. Last point here under point three, letter C, the early church grew because of their love and service to others. I was reading The Rise of Christianity. It's a book by Rodney Stark, who's a sociologist. But he looked at the numbers of the Christian church in the first century, and instead of just kind of saying growth was exponential, he tried to drill down on the numbers and really look at how did that growth happen through the third and fourth centuries and onward. And he made an interesting observation and said it was actually as the Christian communities, these small groups, they would have been meeting in homes at this time, as they served their community and loved their community, others were drawn in and it caused exponential growth. There was a practice in Roman history at this time, in the Roman culture, fathers could set their children out on the edges of the city. They could just leave them if they didn't want them. It was called exposing children. Now, a lot of times this was female children because they wanted the males to work the fields and do the work. You know, it's a horrible thing, but that was part of their culture. So they would put children out on the edge of the city. But the Christian community said, God loves life. He cherishes life. That's not what we're going to do. So they kept their children. They didn't put them out. They didn't expose their children. They took care of them. And then they started taking these Roman children into their homes. Of course, they couldn't take all of them. There were too many. But others saw this. They saw these Christian families taking other children into their homes. And these children became part of their families, and they became followers, so that increased the numbers. But then others in the community saw them doing this and said, wow, that confession of Jesus they're talking about, they really believe that. These people really do love Jesus, and they serve others. And it changed people's lives. They said, I want to be a part of that community. And so people began to change, and lives were changed. And that's the same for us as we come together, we make that confession together, as we learn how to serve with one another. Our community can't help but see that and be changed, and they want to get involved, and they want to be a part of that. And that's a huge part of our life groups, working together, loving others. So finally, this morning, as we commit to worship with one another, as we hold fast to that confession, don't waver, encourage one another with that, as we consider how to provoke, how to stir one another up, you know, we push one another up to love and good deeds. Finally, this final insight, we stay connected in life groups to live with the same urgency of the early church because the day is drawing near. These writers, the writer of Hebrews, the New Testament writers, as soon as Jesus ascended, they believed they were in the last days. They knew that tomorrow was going to be the last day. Tomorrow, Jesus is coming back. Tomorrow, he will return. He's coming. Be ready. You can see that all through Scripture, they were ready for Jesus to come. Looking back 2,000 years later, it seems like forever ago. I've been around about 4 decades. It seems like time has just flown. But I think about 2,000 years, how do we keep that urgency? I'm guilty of losing a sense of that urgency because they've been writing about this since 2,000 years ago. But Jesus can return tomorrow. We must live with that urgency. That's what he's calling us to. It could be tomorrow that he could come. And just like that master that went away, and when he came back, he wanted to find his servants about the work. That's what he wants to find us doing. Will he find us faithful when he returns? And that's the urgency that we need to live with. And by meeting together weekly, we encourage one another with that. We say, hey, this is what God created us for. Let's keep about it. He could come back tomorrow. And I don't know about you, but it helps me to have other people telling me that and living life with people. So let's be encouraged by that this morning. And I want to pray for us to that end. I want to encourage you, if you have not been to a life group in a while, get connected. Maybe you need to contact your leader, or maybe you're looking for a new life group. Life groups are filling up. Pastor John has been preaching about life groups. People, you have been listening. Thank you for listening. Life groups are filling up. We need more life group leaders to step forward. Say, hey, I've been in a life group, but I'm ready to lead a group. We need more of those to open so that all of us can be connected in community. We can be encouraging one another. So I encourage you to do that this morning. Go across through these doors in the back to the Next Steps desk. Ask about how you can be involved in a life group or even lead a life group. All right, so let me pray to that end this morning. Thank you for your attention. And we have an announcement video also. Lord, thank you for your word for us. Lord, thank you that you have designed community, that you have made us to need one another, that we are more complete and more whole when we're meeting together, encouraging one another, how we can serve you, how we can be drawn near to you, and pushing one another out into our communities to love and serve you and love and serve one another. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Keep changing us every day, transforming us more and more who you want us to be, to look more and more like Jesus. Serving one another, giving our lives for one another. We ask you to help us do that, Father. Go with us today. Thank you for your faithfulness. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.